start. Yeah, we thank God for, you know, His grace upon our lives and for this morning's worship. The Lord has spoken about all the things that I have here. And that means that the Spirit of God is moving amongst His people. Because when I was putting this down, James wasn't here. A few others weren't here. But the Spirit of God, you know, is amongst His people. So as a brother came to stand here, that is breakout, just allow yourself for the Lord to use it. When children of God meet like this, there is no limit to what God can do. But it is up to us to respond to God and open our hearts up to Him. Amen. So, I as I was there, you know, worshiping and, you know, all of us listening to what we're listening there, the Lord was bringing some things to my attention. I was looking at where, for a very long time, some people have endured some government and regimes, and it came to a time they said no, and they were prepared together. They came together and said no, and names that were fearful, this time they are not afraid to mention the names that they must go, and they stood their grounds, persisted, broke boundaries at the face of, you know, all the various machine guns and whatever weapons, they stood until they broke through. And God is telling us, in the spiritual realm, it is the same. We must come to the point where you begin to tell yourself, I'm not satisfied. If this is all Christianity is about, then I better close my Bible and go elsewhere. But that is not it. God, I really want to meet You with all my heart. I want to experience You the way I've got to experience You. And so you stand together like this. And throughout this weekend, we say, God, cave in on us. And this morning as I pray, so the Spirit of God releasing doves, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, on every one of us. Every one of us entering here and there on us. And God is saying that, I'm ready. I've opened my arms, right? Like the prodigal son's father. Just saw it. Every day he'll go and stand, where is my son? But the son also thought that he wasn't worthy of the father because he's done so things that are not good. I've wasted all these resources. But the father was there. That's how God is saying, I'm here. I'm ready. It is up to us. So let us break out to Him and allow Him to work in our lives. I believe He has something great for us. Life in the Spirit. As Anne said, you know, when I received the mail, I said, wow, this is fantastic. God is moving in the same way. But I believe that it has something great and mighty for all of us as we explore. Let us open our spirit up unto Him for whatever He has for us. So, we're beginning from Romans chapter 7 to Romans chapter 8, and then we'll move on. But let's begin with Galatians chapter 5. I would wish that we read about two or three other versions. We're reading only two verses, 16 and 25. Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 25. This is New King James Version. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is 16. And then 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen? If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Can we have one or two versions for the 16 and 25, please?
Okay. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
Yes.
If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Let us keep in step with the Spirit. Life in the Spirit means also that there is life in the flesh. And you see, as Christians, as believers, there are these two ways that runs through our lives. Life in the flesh, life in the Spirit. And we need to understand this clearly. Clearly, if we are to be used by God. If we want to receive what God has for us, we need to understand these two ways, to walk by means of the Spirit and to walk by means of the flesh. It is important. So I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So walking by the Spirit is not just being transported by two legs, but organizing our lives according to the principles of the Spirit of God. Organizing my life, not by my own principles or the principles of the society, but by the principles of the Holy Spirit of God who lives in me. So that all everything what governs me is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, walking in the flesh means that I succumb. I completely yield to the appetites of the flesh, the senses of the flesh. So I'm going to spend some time, very few time, for us to look at, because we need to understand the flesh. I'm not going to dwell on that, but I believe the Spirit of God wants us to understand this flesh so that we break out of it and then receive what God has for us. Has for us. So we see that if we yield to the flesh, its deeds are predictable. Habits and other things. But if we yield to the Holy Spirit, He directs us into the freedom in Christ. And so in Romans chapter 7, we hear of, or we see that the Apostle of God, Paul, telling us about his walk in the flesh. He makes confessions about his struggles. You sometimes we are afraid and we think that, you know, we are alone. You are not alone. Paul is confessing. If you read the whole of Romans chapter 7, he makes very, very some statements that say, wow. Is this Paul speaking? It's amazing. You see, sometimes you think that we're going through this, I'm going through that, and I'm alone. No. Paul started, he said, verse 14 to 25. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I'm doing, I do not even understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwell in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will, to present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. I do not find. For what the good that I will do, I do not do. But the evil I will not do, oh, that I practice. But now, if I do what I will not do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Then in verse 24, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death. And verse 25 says, thank God, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And verse chapter 8 says that, therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is Paul. So moving from Romans chapter 7, if you read that, you think that, oh, I'm done. But he moves on. He moves on. The things that I want to do, I can't because I'm carnal, I'm flesh. How did I receive this? This is Adamic nature. I receive it, I've inherited this. It's in my members. Even if I receive Jesus, the Bible says that, and those who believe in him, those who accept him, he gave them power to become children of God, who were born not of the flesh, not of the will of man, but by the Spirit. All right? But even having been born of the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God indwells me, I accept Jesus as Lord and Master of my life, my spirit is born again. The Holy Spirit, like a midwife, brings me into the kingdom of God as a child, as a baby. But my mind and the flesh remains intact. It is intact. And I need to deal with that. I need to deal with that. So the old Adamic nature, the flesh is with us. We've inherited it. But the divine nature of God has been imparted into us through the Holy Spirit. And it is inside us. And Paul is saying that I'm a carnal self-life, helpless. I'm struggling. I don't know what to do. Because in my members, I see some things that I want to do. He says, the things that I do, I don't even understand them. The first one, I don't even understand. That is a unspiritual, carnal, self-man, finds himself doing things that he cannot understand why he's doing them. He can't understand. Then secondly, he says, what I do not want to do, that I do. That I do. So Paul says that he wanted to do right and please God. There are some things I know that these things please God. I want to do these things. I know, not that I do not know. I know, but I'm not able. I'm helpless. I can't do it. I know things that please God. I want to please God. I want to really move on. But I'm held back. I can't. And he goes further to say that the things that I hate, I know this thing I hate. But I move on to do the things that I hate. I mean, how? Why is this so? And he's lamenting the sins that I hate. I know. I want to please God. If I do this, I'll fall short of the glory of God. But that is what I do. I'm struggling against failing to really displease God. I'm displeasing God. I know. Not that I do not know. Say, what I hate is what I do. He doesn't want to hate God. But eventually, he finds himself doing exactly that. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, it goes on to say that, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. There is a conflict here, and it is important for us to understand this, that knowledge is inadequate. That is why people have degrees in theology and other things, and I tell you that they even are the enemies of God. They become enemies of God after getting all the knowledge. So knowledge is inadequate. Self-life cannot live for God. Because I want to please Jesus. I want to really, really, really be conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I can't. That because the things things that I hate, I see that I'm doing these things. I'm doing these things. And that is why in John chapter 3 verse 6, the Bible says that that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Life in the spirit. Life in the spirit. So this flesh of ours, brothers and sisters, according to the word of God, in Romans chapter 7, will keep us back. Will keep us back. There is a struggle inside each and every one of us. Every young person, every old person, whatever it is, you need to keep in tune with the Holy Spirit and begin to walk life in the Spirit. Other than that, this flesh, the Bible says that. That, you see, Paul said something. He said, me, in Corinthians, he says, I bring my body under. That is the old, the King James Version. I bring this body under. In other words, he says, I pommel the body. I bring my body under subjection. In other words, this body must know that he has a master. If you want to walk in the spirit, then the body that we hold that God has given, it is good, it's a temple of the Holy Ghost. The body is good, fashioned in a very special way. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But the body must be told that you have a master living inside this body. I am the temple and the Spirit of God lives in me, and you must recognize and know that you have a master inside. I must bring my body under subjection, because the body has some characteristics that every believer in Jesus Christ must understand. In Romans chapter 8 verse 7, the Bible says that the mind that is set on the flesh is enmity against God. The mind that is set on the flesh, it is by nature enmity with God. That is why there are struggles in us daily. It cannot submit to God because of this war. It is not subject to the law of God. The third one is that the mind that is set on the flesh focuses on things of the earth. It is earth bound. It does not look up. This flesh wants to look at only down here. If there is anything that want to push this earth or want to make demands on the flesh to look up, the flesh begins to fight. I don't know whether you've noticed that. You want to make some demands on the flesh to look up to spiritual things, it begins immediately to start with some AK-47 and missiles throwing at you. I'm telling you. Let's tell ourselves. For instance, once I tell myself, I'm going to fast tomorrow, I'm going to begin a 30-day or 1 week fast, you will see what the body will tell you. Immediately, the body begins to react. Gets into the mind. Because the war that we are fighting in our body, the spiritual battle that we are fighting, is fought in the spirit of the soul, in the arena of the soul, the mind and the will. So whatever you begin to, well, because the flesh is earth bound, it looks at earthly things. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Romans chapter 5, chapter 8 and verse 5. They do mind the things of the flesh, the things that are earthly. And so the moment you want to live, do something that will lift the flesh, the flesh to look up to God for things that are upward, it begins to fight. We need to understand that. It is very, very, very important. Any attempt to move it up has a response that really wants to fight. So it doesn't want to look upwards. It doesn't want to conform to the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the flesh. Life in the flesh. So rebellion and all sorts of things, disobedience, pride and arrogance, earthly mindedness, powerlessness, they are all here. But in Romans chapter 7 verse 24, we see Paul lifting up his voice and literally exclaiming Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? I'm wretched. Wretched. If you read it carefully, quietly, you realize that when you reach verse 24, Paul is literally exclaiming to God, oh, wretched man, who will deliver me? I need help. I need help, Lord. And that is what God is requiring from some of us. The devil wants you to keep quiet, even when you need the help. Because when you keep quiet, he will be able to work his machinations through the body, through the flesh. But when you lift your voice to God and say, Lord, I need help, the Spirit of God will come to your aid. But if you keep quiet, and that is what the devil is doing all over the world. The people who need help keeps quiet. They keep quiet every day. There is a struggle in us. Yes, the struggling is going on. But we have a God who is greater than every struggle that he has won the battle before the foundation of the world. He has won the battle. But the struggle is going on. In fact, I tell you, that is, I'm sure you have experienced. I have. And I continue because this flesh will continue to be with us till Jesus Christ comes. And so you must crucify it on the cross daily. Because of that, there is a war going on. As we dress very nicely, moving around, going to lectures, coming back, standing there to teach, and doing all those things. But as we do all those things, the war rages on. In our members, it is inside here. Because there are two kings. If you like. In our part of the world, we have chiefs, and they are very powerful. So there are two chiefs in me. Each one is struggling for supremacy, to sit on the throne of my heart. And it is daily affair. They are all struggling. So if you come to Ghana, there are a lot of chieftaincy disputes, sometimes on land. These people are saying that this land belongs to us. Another person is saying this land belongs to us. And they are fighting on boundaries. So this goes on ages and ages and ages. So the disputes are here. Yours, it can be two parties inside you struggling for supremacy. It can be liberal Democrats or the Tories or the Labour. They are all struggling to sit on the heart. They are all struggling to get your attention. They are all struggling to tell you that I am better. I am in this world. I can manifest myself in this world. I can give you good things. Like the devil took Jesus Christ to the mountain and said, look, you see all the glory of the world, just bow and I'll give it to you. Struggles in our lives. It is the flesh in the realm of the soul, in the realm of our minds, in the realm of our, it goes on raging, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Understand this. But there is victory. We need to lift up our voice and say, God, we need help. We need help. The problem comes when we keep quiet. The problem comes when you want to, you see, these things will, they are precious. It pressurizes you and you are flat on the ground. And you know you need help, but you kept quiet. You kept quiet. That is the thing. There is a mobile phone in your hands. There is fire over there. Let's assume that the fire, what do you call it? Fire alarm system is broken down. Let's assume that it's broken down. And you have the mobile phone only to dial. Nah, is that right? Hey, the mobile phone is holding you. It's in your hands. And then you are standing there staring at the fire. I say, oh, there is fire. What would happen? Everything will be burnt up. And if you don't take care, your life may be affected. But you have the opportunity, the other alternative of just dialing 999, fire, give the direction. And within a twinkle of an eye, they are here to put it off. And yet you keep quiet and hold the mobile phone in your hands. In practice, in our lives, that is what happens. God wants you to shout and say, oh, wretched man, wretched woman, who can deliver me from this power of death? And then you go and say, thank God for Jesus. There is victory in Christ. And I didn't know, and I've kept quiet. You see, like Jacob, when he dreamt and he saw the glory of God, the angels, he woke up and said, oh, God is here, and I didn't know. Help is there. The Spirit of God is available. Jesus is prepared. He's prepared, no matter who you are, where you come from. Because brothers and sisters, all this I would talk. Look at the life of Paul. I always tell God, God, if you were able to save Paul, if we're able to use Paul, that means you can use me too. You can. Why can't you? I have not sat down to help I wasn't part of it. Even if I were there, I don't think I would have helped in killing Stephen. I wouldn't be a party to it. This man was party to it. He was destroying the church and killing people and sending them to prison. And you gave him such a revelation. And you use him so much. You can use me. But this is the man, Paul, we're talking about, who was screaming to God for help. So brothers and sisters, in the Lord, there is victory in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That the believer must be aware of this. And today, from this, throughout this weekend, I want you to open your spirit up and say, Lord, I need help. Anything in our members that we need to look at, just lift up your voice and say, Lord, lift up your hands upon me. Don't let anything crumble you down. Don't let any limitations crop your mind. Don't think about what you have done, what you have not done. The grace of God and the favor of God is all available unto us. All we need to do is to recognize that this flesh must be handed over to God to do whatever he wants to do and fill us with the Spirit. To move on. Life in the Spirit is a powerful life. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Life in the Spirit. So Paul noted with exclamation that the great deliverer is Jesus. He's the greatest deliverer. He will deliver us. He's ever prepared. He's opening his arms this day, this morning, to us. And he received the deliverance through Jesus Christ. The deliverance didn't come from man-made laws. Do's and don'ts. No, the deliverance didn't come through some man possessing some type of power, high power faculty. Some strategies that we have put together. Number one, number two, number three, number four. If you follow that, you have the... No! It didn't come as a result of some quality life or something. No, it didn't come as a result of some spiritual forces that you do. It didn't come as a result of some incantations. No! It comes by Jesus Christ. Lord, I need help. And he opens arms. Say, my child, just come. My daughter, just come. I will hug you and put my spirit inside of you to overcome this flesh. Because this flesh wants food. It wants sleep. It wants all the things of the world, earth bound. But I want to lift you higher. I want to move you for the flesh to know that he has an owner. And the owner is the Spirit of God. His life in the Spirit. So deliverance comes through Christ, brothers and sisters. And we need to live our whole lives. Give everything up to him. That is why he said in Romans chapter 8, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Who condemns me? The problem is some of us condemn ourselves. We look at our background and we condemn ourselves. We look at what we've done, we condemn ourselves. I'm not worthy. I cannot do this. I cannot do this. God cannot do this with me. That is from the pit of hell. It doesn't come from God. So just turn your back to that and tell yourself, God can use me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He can use me. I can be used by the Lord. Because there is no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ. It is Jesus who is the way, the truth and the life. He has saved me, and I'm for him. Because Romans 8:2 says, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set me free from the law of death. I'm free from the law of death. I'm free in Christ. In Christ, sin no longer have dominion over me. It's not any set of rules that I have to obey. Nothing masters me. It is the Spirit of God who is inside of me. The old nature is gone. I have a new mind, new thinking, clarity of mind from the Holy Spirit that He gives me. The old mind has become new. It has become new in Christ. Not in my strength. Not in my power. Therefore, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says that, do not be conformed. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and to approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Be transformed. When the transformation of the Spirit of God begins, be transformed by the renewing of your mind daily. Daily. By the Word of God. By prayer. By the Spirit of God working in and through us. Working in and through us. Working in and through us. So that we are not condemned. So, you see, that is it. In a nutshell, that is it. As we sit here, we are the Spirit of God inside us. God created, the Bible says, and God breathed the Spirit into man. And man became a living soul. To be able to, to be able to go, to have the Spirit of God to go, to relate to God. But He took dust and formed us. So we can relate to things that we can see with our naked eyes. So we are special beings. Fantastic beings. We reach out to God spiritually and that we touch things that we see with our eyes, all these things. But the problem is that the devil has deceived the world into thinking that all the world has are things that we can see. The cars we drive and the homes we live and the gadgets that we have and things that we can touch with our hands and we can see with our eyes, all that there is in the world. No, that is deception of the devil. Beyond that, there is the spiritual power and the spiritual world relating to God with our spirits. And that is what God wants us to do. And so we need to begin this journey. And to begin this journey, we need to assess ourselves and look whether we have embraced Jesus. Have I actually embraced Him? Is He in my heart? Have I deliberately accepted Him as Lord and Master of my life? Is Jesus Christ of Nazareth my Lord? It is very important that you reassess your life and come to the conclusion that, oh, wretched man, I need You, Lord. I need You first. In the first place, You are the person I need. That is all my, that is the reason for all my struggles, because You are no longer, You are not even there. But because I'm in church, I think You are there. Because I sing some songs and I worship God, I think You are there, but You are not even there. You reassess yourself and then you come to Me and say, Lord, I come. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While others thou are saving, do not pass me by. Savior, 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 I come. Here I am. I come. I bring my life to You. Just take me and indwell me. Dwell, come and dwell inside me. So that is the first step. In all these struggles, we need to understand and know whether He is in there. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is in. The way, the truth, and the life. He's the shepherd of our souls. He will keep us through life. He's the only door. If you enter into it, that's it. He sets you free by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are no longer bound by rules, this and that. Do this and don't do this. It is grace of God. But that grace of God gives you the power to say no to any form of ungodliness. Hallelujah. And you move in the power of the Holy Spirit. You become invincible. The devil is afraid of you because he is in you. So before we continue, brothers and sisters, I want to give you the opportunity to consider this Jesus Christ. We may be in church, all right, that is good. But is He in? Is He in? Is He in? And as I told you yesterday, I just walked. I was in church. My father was a minister. But as I heard, pass me not a gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While all the others thou art passing, please do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While others thou art passing, a hymn. And as they sung this hymn, this man and his wife playing the guitar I'm giving the word of God. I'm playing the guitar. Pass me another gentle savior. And as I stood there, I said, yes. Even though I'm in church, he's not in. And I stood up. I came and said, I need him. I need him. So if you are here, you may need him. He wants to come. He wants to come. Assess your life. Is Jesus in? I want to give you that portion. I want to pray with that before we go on. Because it is important. We need to understand that Jesus is in. He's my savior. He's my deliverer. He's my director. He is the one who controls my life. He's my future. He's my everything. We need to know that. It must be established in our spirit beyond every reasonable doubt. If there is any shade of doubt, then you need him. That is the important thing. Because it can be. It can be. Because brothers and sisters, there are so many people who sit in the church and go to hell. Whether you believe in hell or not, the Bible says it. And there are so many people who pray that God will work on all of us. So as we begin to pray, I want to pray with you. Just come here if you want to accept him and say, Lord, now today I'm saying yes to you. I might not have done that. Or I might be in the church. But even though I'm in the church, I know that. I know. I have a witness. I know that. I have not done that, Lord. But today I want to come. And as we pray, I want to pray with you that this weekend will be the beginning of what God is going to do. He has already begun it. But you really get into it. He brings you in by his spirit. Let us bow our heads in prayer. And if you really want to do that, I want you to stand up here and come here. And I will lead you right now in Jesus' name. So this is a time of going into your life. It's the beginning. Many people, many of us take things for granted. And we think we are in church. And because we are in church, we think that Christ is automatic. It is not automatic. You must lift up your voice and say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I want to embrace you. Jesus, you need to come into my life. I come to you, Lord. I come to you, Lord. So if that is your Lord and you want him to come into your life, please come here as I pray with you before we continue. Just come. Give you the opportunity. Get into your spirit right now. Begin to pray. Assess your life. Assess your life. So that all the others become meaningful to all of us. In Jesus' name. Yes. If you want to accept him, that's why we are quiet. Just stand up quietly where you are. Pray for you. And we continue. It's a very important time, a very important, very, very crucial in the life of the believer. So lift up your voice to him. Say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I come to you. Lord, I want to accept you. Lord, I know, even though I'm in the church, I might have been born in the church, but Lord, I have not given you that opportunity to occupy the center of my life. I'm not giving you that opportunity. So today I come, Lord, that you will sit on the throne of my heart and be King of Kings and Lord of Lords of my life. So come to him. Stand to your feet if you want to. In the name of Jesus. Just come. We give you some few minutes. Process your life. It's an individual decision. It's an individual thing. If you are in, you know you are in. If he's in, Jesus is in, you know it. If he's not in, you know it. The Spirit of God will speak to your heart that you need to commit your life to him. And it's very crucial. So that you know that you know that you know that you know and you are aware and you know that he is in. And that is why you lift up a voice and you know that he is. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Other than that, we can move on the way he wants us to. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Bless you for what you've done in our lives, Lord. We are so joyful that you are in our lives. We thank you for this opportunity. It is grace, Lord. If it had not been your grace, Lord, we wouldn't have been here. So we thank you, Lord, together as the body of Christ, as your people who have met over here. We just want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege of knowing you. We bless your name, Lord, for the joy and the peace that you provide, Lord. We thank you, Father God. No matter, Lord, even the challenges we face, because you are with us, you always lead us to victory. Oh, so we thank you, Lord. As your people, we want to bless you, we want to adore you, we want to lift you up, Lord, for what you've done in Jesus' name. And let the church say, amen. 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 Praise God. Now we want to pray before we break. All right? We want to pray. Because you see, the flesh, as I've said, must be told. He must know. My flesh, you have a master. All right? You have a master inside. The Holy Spirit is inside. He is the boss. The Spirit of God in my life is the boss. It's not you, the flesh. Sometimes you want to dictate to me. But you've got to understand that the boss is inside. And he is the one who directs me. He's the director of the company. He's the everything of the company. It's not you, the flesh. There's a young man called Joseph, Jacob, who had the same experience. Dominated by the flesh. He was a deceiver. He was a grabber. He was everything that you can think of. The flesh, that sinful, the fleshly desire, the flesh, everything was it. He was grasping here and there. He would want to deceive his brother. Even in the womb, he was wanted to overtake his brother. Even in the womb. And having been deceived and having deceived and been deceived and all those things, it came to a time that he has to come back to his home. He had his brother to contend with. It was so difficult. He didn't know what to do. In that carnal, sinful nature man and all the things that he had done, he couldn't make it. There was fear, everything in this man, Joseph, Jacob. But one day, the Bible says, Genesis chapter 32, read verse 24, it says, Jacob was left alone. I love it. He was left alone. The deceiver was left alone. The man that was dominated by the flesh was left alone. He even didn't know that he has already been blessed, but he was trying to bring all these things together by himself, by the flesh. But he was left alone. And he wrestled with God. He wrestled with God. And the angel said, let me go. He said, no, I'm not going to let you go. It is getting to daybreak. He said, no. Why? Because Joseph, Jacob must go. The deception must go. The flesh must go. The flesh must know that he has an owner. He has a boss inside. The flesh must go and your blessings must come. So if you don't bless me, I'm not going to leave you. Break out of the flesh into the spirit. That is the spirit life. That is the life of Jacob. He was struggling with God. He was struggling with God. He's hung on so much to him. It is getting to daybreak. Let me go. He said, no, I'm not going to let you go. Because the deception must leave. The flesh must go. The flesh must know that he has an owner. If you don't bring something from above, I'm not going to let you go. And he said, what is your name? He said, I'm Jacob the deceiver. I'm Jacob the grabber. He said, your name from today would be called Israel. The moment the change came, you got to hang on to God. You got to cry out to God. Lord, here am I. I want to break out into you. I want to break out into you so that your spirit will come. Bless me, Lord. Bless me with the spiritual power. Bless me with your anointing, because it is the anointing that will break every yoke. And that anointing that breaks yoke is available to us right now. So Lord, my heart is yearning. I will not let it go until you bless me. So Lord, bless me. If you did that for Jacob, it is my turn. In this place, it is my turn. And God, you are not a God of favoritism. If you are not a God of favoritism, then it is my turn. So we're going to rise up together, lift up our voice, The outer man must be broken. The Spirit of God must come. We want to move the spiritual life, the life of the Spirit, that God Himself will break it into my life and begin to do things. Now I know Jesus is in my heart. Jesus controls me. The Spirit of God is inside of me. And so He must break loose into my life, Lord. I want You to bless me. Lord, bless me with the spiritual gifts. Bless me with the power of the Holy Ghost. Bless me with Your anointing. I'm not going to let You go until You bless me. I'm not going to leave You until You bless me. If You don't bless me, I'll continue to shout. God, I need You, Lord. So lift up your voice to God. Just lift up your voice to God and begin to pray. In any